We're doing it. He's sleep talking.
Good. He ain't gonna like what I have to say.
In his sleep.
Why is it not live? What am I missing?
It takes a little bit.
I know. I gotta refresh. There's always that lag where we talk like we don't know what we're doing. Like right now. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, cheers. Tonight on the Red Eye Report, we're going to listen to Mystic fall asleep while Ashtray pisses him off in his dreams. As always, we have Oracle, who once had an emotional affair with a swan's push pop. Don't tell his wife.
Swans are fucking big animals, let me tell you.
Oh, the swan's push pop. No, yeah, the ice cream push pops. Remember those?
Yeah. Oh, like, I thought we were talking about a different kind of push pop on that swan. That's no joke.
I don't
joke.
Know what kind of swans you're dating. and then there's Teddy, who cheats all the fucking time on Xbox. Don't tell his wife.
Oh, she knows.
Sometimes and don't forget about Mystic, who's already asleep, so he won't be bothered while I share my story about deep trenching his mom out. Well, I made his dad watch and cheer me on with shots of Goldschlager.
Oh.
It wasn't really cheating. We were all on board.
Deep cut.
And then there's me, Ashtray, who's been the dirty dog and the dog that got dirtied. And I'll say neither side is ever clean. And this is a Red Eye Report.
Well, there you go.
Now, before we get into it, it's time for our weekly pause for the cause with the Dane County Humane Society. The pet of the week is Pepe, the PCP pounding peacock. He has lost his tail feathers, but
he doesn't have any tail feathers.
Doesn't have any tail feathers. He just looks like a fucking.
He gets mistaken as a fucking turkey.
Like,
holy shit! Is that fucking turkey of me?
He still does that call.
No, peacocks sound like screaming babies.
I grew up at a farm. We had peacocks.
Yeah, if you're
loud motherfuckers.
Yeah, they make that sound that Ashtray just made.
I can't even do it, my two horse. Anyways, so gentlemen, how many affairs have you had?
Zero.
Mystic's had at least three. So this is a topic that's been a part of fucking Ashtray's life, his entire goddamn upbringing. And so, but what actually got me interested in it is even though, like, I was in third grade, my dad had an affair on my mom. Then I got married young and dumb. My wife, ex-wife had an affair on me. Then there was a period of time where Ashtray found himself in some scenarios where, two different scenarios, completely separate, but where Ashtray was the other guy. And now Ashtray told himself, well, I'm not cheating on anyone. Because I wasn't seriously seeing anyone at all at the time. And I was kind of like, gave myself the ground rules of don't you dare fall in love and don't make it last more than like 2 months. And I got away with both of them, but it completely opened my eyes to like what a lot of people don't think about when it's like, if you've never had an affair, it's real easy to think, just take that moral, like, yep, yeah, you just don't cheat on your wife, don't cheat on your husband. But in being the other dude, it gave me a whole different perspective from like what my dad must have experienced, cheating on my mom, and also what my ex-wife experienced cheating on me. So I coined that affairs are the heroine of romance. Like if you're if you're into fucking, if someone falls in love and then like you experience the affair, it's the craziest non-drug natural high. And through that experience, I then found this, she's a relationship therapist, this Esther Perel. She has like kind of almost a French accent. She's, you know, one of those people that,
of course she's French.
She actually isn't, she said she isn't French. She's like part of the joke of this TED talk was, but because she sounds like a French accent, you know, it sounds like, of course she's going to talk about infidelity and affairs. so she kind of makes fun of it. But, so anyway, she has this TED talk, which we got linked, and, she talks about rethinking infidelity. And one of the things too is that right away she's like, everyone's been asking me once they found out I'm going to be coming and talking about this, like, you know, what's the stats, you know, like who, you know, what percentage of people cheat or who cheats more. And she explains that like, it's kind of impossible to tell, because especially in the modern era, the definition of infidelity is expanding. Because now you have sexting. Some people, you know, consider that if their spouse or, you know, their husband watches porn, you know, like that degree of what someone considers cheating. Mm-hmm. Oh, secretly staying on dating apps, that's a common one. That, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I had this girlfriend for, you know, we've only been together for like 2 or 3 months, but I never really dated my profile. You deleted my profile, you know, but so, then the,
to me, cheating has always been like, did you suck the dude dick?
Right.
Was there penetration?
Yeah. And also because it was, it was definitely much more black and white back in the day, because it used to be marriage was, you know, much more of a like land contract situation and out of necessity. And in her talk, she explains that it used to be like people would seek out their romance and their love through actually having an affair. Or like, you know, going to like, I'm just going to go into town and, you know, hook up with, you know, some chick at the brothel, you know, back in ye old time. And so it's like you didn't really count on your marriage so much for love. And it's like if you were looking for love and excitement and romance, like you would just go out and have an affair. Now in the modern era where we've put this like, we have such a romantic ideal in our partnership, and we actually expect that our partner is going to be able to fulfill all our needs, as far as, you know, love and security and lust and sex. But it's like impossible to expect that out of a partner these days. But because now it's not like the romantic ideal of marriage is the primary factor. And so now more than ever, actually cheating, like in the old days, it would be like, oh, you know, your mom found a receipt, you know, for a hotel or something in the pants while she was doing the laundry for her husband. And it would be subtle things or like, oh, maybe some lipstick on some clothing. But nowadays it's like, she talks about one of her clients who, was on the fucking iPad with her kids, her little boys. And all of a sudden, these messages start popping up. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait for your embrace. But then she's like, but I just saw you. Like her husband was flying on a work trip. And so in the modern era, like affairs are like death by a thousand cuts, because like in this client's situation, she is all of a sudden seeing iMessage or Apple Message, whatever messages come up from this guy's Paramore.
Oh, so the husband. Okay, I get it. So the husband left, but he was signed in on that fucking iPad.
Yep, yeah. And okay. She's watching you like probably Bluey okay. right. fucking clips or Peppa Pig.
Bluey with the kids,
watching
like
Peppa
you
Pig
do.
With the boys, and then all of a sudden, all these messages start popping up, and so she's like, "What do you mean? I can't wait to see you. Like, I just saw you off to go on your work trip." And then she realizes, like, "Oh wait, these aren't for me."
Right.
And starts digging, and like, you know, in the modern era, like, depending on how long the affair's been going on, like, once you wise up, or if you actually decide to take that step, which is a difficult step to take, where you decide, like, I'm going to snoop in my partner's phone. I mean, some people are just fucking bastards and, like, will, you know, just snoop on their partner's phone. But I think it's kind of crossing, like, a threshold of trust in a way, because you've decided, like, I'm going to look into my partner's phone because I'm actually thinking I can't trust them. What's that?
I used to think that. I used to think, you know, like, girls actually look at my phone and stuff when I was dating and stuff. I used to think it was a major privacy, but now it's like, I don't have anything to hide, so.
Yeah.
If you want to look at my phone, that's about them, so.
Sure. And that thing, too, is, like, it's.
But also, I haven't been with a girl like that wants to do that in a while. So, I mean, like, my wife has never actually looked at my phone. It's just mm-hmm. the thing. I just got to find that type of girl. It's like, I trust you. I don't think.
Yeah, that kind of relationship is pretty exhausting. Well, you know, I've been in one of those. It's just like, Jesus Christ. Like,
oh, I know.
A.
And, where it's like, you can't, like, prove your innocence, even though it's been there the whole time. oh my God. Like, and that's usually when, like, girlfriends who dump ashtray because it's just all you want to do is go dance. It's like, because, like, you think I do want to just go dance. Doesn't mean I'm fucking cheating on you. Anyways.
They call me dance machine, bitch. What do you think I wear?
Yeah, right? Like, I worked for that name. So in the modern era, though, it's never actually been easier to cheat, because think about back in the olden times when, it was kind of like, yeah, you would get your romantic love lust from going to see, you know, some old hag behind the Wendy's dumpster.
Jesus Christ. And, is that what you did last night?
Now it's like you've got you have all these social apps. Snapchat, that was what I used with one of my affairs, where it's kind of the, like, I never use Snapchat because I always think of it like, that's the whole point. The shit deletes and disappears.
So I've never used that, but the idea behind that is a text is sent and then it disappears after X amount of time, right?
No, anything they send, once the other person looks at it, it automatically disappears. Like, once you take your finger off of it, it disappears.
I mean, you can screenshot it, but the app will actually will notify you if they've screenshotted what you sent them. So it does let you know that. But also it's like I only used it as an affair tool.
I used to talk to my weed guy because he wanted to communicate that way because he thought it disappeared. I was like, bro, they're saving that shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, if they need you, like they
can get access to all that shit. If they really want to.
No, it's not.
She also talks about how, like, you know, because affairs are as old as time, it's actually the only commandment in the Bible that's mentioned twice. Once for doing it and once for thinking about it.
So it happened to the person that wrote the Bible then, huh? It's like,
yeah, right?
Fucking bitch.
this bitch found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then she fucking yelled.
His wife was like, yelling at him. You better write about that two times in that fucking Bible, motherfucker.
And the thing is, we have this kind of double standard where, like, 97% of respondents, you know, would say that, like, they would, would hate the fact that they found out that their spouse was lying about the fact that they were having an affair. But at the same time, the same number of respondents would say that if they were having an affair, they would probably lie about it. It's like, duh. So the thing is, like, earlier I was saying how the definition of infidelity is always expanding, and how now it's like the statistics range widely, anywhere from like 13 to 25%, or all the way up to like 75% if you really broaden out the definitions. So her definition is there are three key elements to it. An affair is a secretive relationship. So it's a relationship that you ain't talking about with anyone else. The second is there is an emotional connection between the two of you. And the third is the sexual alchemy. Like those three key elements, you can, and that's how also, like, think about how easily someone could claim you're having an emotional affair with your coworker, but you just fucking get along well with your coworker.
Oh, they people still do it. They call them work husbands and work wives, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the joking term where it's kind of like,
yeah.
And also, I think, whatever, if that's the term you want to use, more power to you, because you can't help, and that's where so many affairs happen, is the workplace, because you're just around a person, and if you vibe with them, you start vibing with them, even if you're already obligated to someone else, doesn't mean it ever has to turn into an affair or cheating. But when you're around people on a continual basis that you have, you know, a mutual, like, chemistry or energy with, like, you're going to get along. So let's see. She also goes on to say how it used to be that, remember how getting divorced was shameful?
Yeah, I guess.
But her bad, like, especially, you know, in the '50s and prior, you know, where it's just like, you didn't want to be a divorce, especially as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like a divorcee. Oh,
I could definitely see as a woman back in the day for sure.
Well, and also how much harder it used to be to actually get a divorce, where you couldn't just do irreconcilable differences, like pretty much everywhere now.
Didn't you get like kicked out of the church or some shit like that?
Yeah, oh yeah, the church. The church was, there was part of it.
Wasn't there a king who started his own church because he wanted to get a divorce?
I'm not even going to get into it, but I have a link in there of the famous fucking affairs. Prince Edward, I believe, right? Wait. No, that's
it,
the later
it was
one.
Like,
there was more than one
big dog
king who was like, where was it?
Yeah, Henry the Eighth.
No, Henry the Eighth. I am.
Yeah. he literally started his own church because they wouldn't allow him to get divorced. That's why
he divorced. Yeah.
He was the supreme head of the Church of England. That's what it was called, the Church of England. The new church that allowed divorce. How convenient. Come over to this one.
Yeah, right.
All ye philanderers. But today, in the modern era, so like divorce used to be the old shame. Like you didn't want to have the stigma of a failed marriage. Now the divorce or the shame is staying.
What
like
do you mean,
I don't know
staying?
If you follow like Am I the Asshole? Or, you know, on Reddit, or like two different or two hot takes where people are like, am I overreacting to this? Or like, I want to leave my wife.
Reddit as you do, buddy.
It's the only social media app I really actually use regularly. Yeah. Like I use Facebook just to post for my shit for work. But Reddit, that is my guilty pleasure. Anyways, there's plenty of people who are like, you know, what dumping about their relationship issue or drama, you know, and it's like so often on the internet, everyone's advice on the internet, fucking dump them, throw them to the curb. Like, you don't fucking deserve it. These are, you know, they're abusive, blah, blah, blah. And so like, it is actually more shameful, especially if you publicly share that you're having problems in your relationship,
mm-hmm.
to decide, I still want to, I love this person, and I still believe in what our whole point of this marriage, and I do want to work on it. But once, you know, it's just like, now it's like people like, oh, you're staying? Like, because we always, it's like, divorce is so easy now. You don't have to prove any infidelity. You can just be like, you know what? I could be happier. I just made a mistake. Or we're growing apart. Or that clip I showed you where it was like, after her video was this whole course for men on essentially how to gaslight their wives into not leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you, you know, are they talking about needing space? It just like, it starts with are they saying that they don't, you know, like they need to find themselves? Have you got the dreaded divorce papers? You know, it's like, take this course and we'll show you how to like, basically convince your wife that the whole idea of leaving me is completely wrong. You know, it's like, think of how many asshole chumps would totally pay for that. But the thing is, at the heart of an affair, because now it's that leads to the question that if it's so easy to divorce, like, why are we still having an affair or having affairs? And at the heart of an affair usually is a yearning for some emotional connection, vitality, a feeling alive, feeling important, attention from someone. And that was, like I was saying, it was the biggest natural high. And I can't remember the book I read this quote in. I think it might have been Tom Robbins' book. The French have a saying, the best part of an affair is going up the stairs. It was the drive over to this person's place where I like your head, you're buzzing. And I mean, the sex was great too and stuff, but it was actually like in hindsight, it was that anticipation of this going to the secret rendezvous. And the thing is that when you're also the fact that like you can't, when you're having an affair with someone, you you can't technically have them. You can't talk. So it's secretive, right? So you can't tell anyone like, oh, I met this new girl. She's great. Blah, blah, blah. Or guy, you know, you can't gush. Like all of those emotions have to be bottled up to try to preserve the secrecy of the affair. And because you also can't technically have them, you want more of them. And so it's like this fucking desire feedback cycle where, which really made me realize like, fuck. Because not only did my dad have, so my dad had an affair with my mom when I was in third grade. And then like, maybe 10 years ago now, my stepmom, because they're both musicians and they've been in a number of bands. All of a sudden my stepmom, Grant, they're in their like late, she was in her late 50s, I think, or something. Starts sleeping with the guitar player of the band. And it's like, my dad had to have that humble pie of actually being like, damn, like, I know now how your mom felt.
Right.
And also, because my ex-wife cheated on me, that was another thing I only realized after going to divorce support group, was that I grew up with that whole, like, I don't want to do what my dad did when I was in third grade. Like, it fucking broke our family apart. All of a sudden, my classmate is now my stepsister. And everyone, oh, good, small town. So both, you know, it was like two, my dad and my stepmom were both did having an affair.
That's both what, that's married.
What's that?
Did she get caught in the dryer?
Your stepsister? Like,
No. I was in third grade.
Why not? That's how porn tells.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Because stepsisters are the safe, they're the safe incest porn, basically.
Yeah, right.
That's what I think. So, as like a third grader, you know, I'm hearing these rumors because they were both running the music program in the church, and like hearing my mom gossiping on the phone, these rumors that my dad and my, what eventually became my stepmom, were banging in the church at night because they had keys. And as a third grader, like trying to digest.
That's awesome. I'm sorry. I want to meet your dad.
any way to defile the church. Mystic, yes, is like, my man.
I've never asked him. I've never asked him, and if he did, and if I, as I am, if I think, like, if I were him, and if he did, I bet he still would deny it if I asked him outright, like, even to this day.
I swear to God, like, she's, like, blowing out his tits. Like, she, and he just fucking.
Right in the holy water.
Fucking right in the holy water.
So, God, that,
it's all over.
I grew up with that, like, I don't want to fucking do that, right? Like, I don't want to be what my dad was, and then never thought to flip the coin around and be like, what would I, you know, what would I do if I was in my mom's position? And when my ex-wife started sleeping with her boss, so to then have my dad, my stepmom cheat on him. And it's like he, it took a while for me to finally be the ear he needed to lean on because I'm his favorite. But like at first, I just like, I don't want to hear it, Dad. Like, would you, you know, it also goes up where they say, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater. Even though I've had a number of people tell me when I tell them the stories about the affairs I had where I was the other guy, they're like, well, you weren't doing anything wrong, Craig. I'm like, nah, I was taking part in something wrong.
Yeah, you were. You're doing something wrong.
You're an adult. I knew what you were doing.
Right.
Oh, I knew exactly. I knew what I was doing. And I knew it was. That's the thing is with affairs, like, that's why I say, call him the heroine of romance. Like, you can't fuck around with it.
At the same time, I kind of.
You kind of what?
A fucking institution.
You're breaking up. You kind of what?
You guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Like, marriage is a fucking archaic institution, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, look at you. You made a decision when you were fucking barely a teenager, right? What were you, how old were you?
When I got married, I was 20. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
like
was
you're not fucking dumb. Old enough to drink.
Yeah.
And you fucking made a choice to stay with someone for life, which is...
Mm-hmm. It was stupid, and I think she was only the fourth or fifth person I'd slept with, but it was the first person I actually fell in love with.
Young, that's a lot of things infidelity. It's probably that, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, oh, yeah, definitely.
They get knocked up and fucking... school or some shit 10 years later their husband's
oh yeah that in her TED talk Esther Perel talks about how more often than not it's like when someone seeks the gaze of another is it like the attention or an affair from someone else it's not that they're turning away from their partner so much as they're looking for a different version of themselves or a lot of it would be like women who get married really young and they kind of realize like I didn't fucking have any of like my young adulthood experiences and I married this fuck off who won't get off fucking Call of Duty and it's been 15 years and I'm almost 40 Teddy. And I'm sick of this shit, you know, like so
you say Teddy?
shots fired. Ooh.
Chuck, we gonna trip to the weekend. We going somewhere next weekend. I get off Call of Duty. The secret is it's portable. Bring it with you, bro. Just bring it with you.
That's funny.
So even though in Esther Perel's talk, she said like it's kind of impossible to know statistics. Of course, there's a website that claimed to have some. Main cheating statistic, the percentage of men and women in 2017, anyways, who cheated on their partners was 20% of men, 13% of women. Now, of course, this is like, how do you define it? But we're going to assume, like Mystic, the old classic definition, like genitals and mouth parts were involved. There's been an increase in the rate of women, infidelity in women since 1990 by 40%. 16% of married couples admitted to being unfaithful at some point in their marriage. 30% of individuals started cheating on their spouse with someone at work. According to research, 57% of marriages ended in divorce due to infidelity, which I thought was kind of low. 57%.
Oh, 57.
57%. But, you know, these days, though, I guess everyone is so easy to divorce. And that's kind of that point. Like, why have an affair if you can get a divorce where it's just like, yeah, get the divorce and then go bang people. But it doesn't always happen that way. 88% of ladies put more emphasis on their emotional affairs or physical affairs. The percentage of men and women facing emotional affairs was 45% men and 35% women. 60% of all emotional affairs start in a work environment, which is totally true. And 77% of men confessed to engaging in some form of emotional affair, while women accounted for 91%.
Wow.
And that's when they talk of these statistics on emotional affairs. And I guess it's like, that's where you can, how broadly you can start defining like that my spouse is cheating on me because he's texting all the time with his work wife.
Mm-hmm.
But like, have you met his work wife? Like, she looks like a fucking librarian, and she's 67.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like,
Yeah. Well, I got an idea though. Don't call her your work wife, because that's
dumb. Well, and that's right. Like Teddy said though, it's those are like these trending terms.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know this shit's going to get turned on its head very soon here with large language models and fucking chatbots.
Because people this shit are, is in like online dating or what?
People are going to have emotional affairs with fucking AI.
Shit, never thought about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I had a movie about that.
Because so much of the...
Isn't that
it? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have not watched that. But
and that was before the shit like got good.
It popped off, yeah.
Right. Like, that was kind of like right before, you know, the shit like actually it can fucking happen now.
Dork.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it was like one of those from, like, personally, it's like, I wouldn't recommend an affair to anyone. Like, nothing good can really come out of it. Cause with the experience that I had, like, I was thinking to myself, like, I can only imagine what it must be, what emotional roller coaster it must be for for her on the other side. Like, you're the one who's doing the real cheating. And like, you then have to like pretend everything's fine the next morning to your husband. And oh, that was one of my other like, where I'm like, okay, I'm going to allow this because I never met the other dudes for the two different affairs I had where I was the other person. And both of them were, I was very much like, the one we called her Loose Diamond because she was complaining about her fucking diamond being loose in her setting, in her engagement ring. And then, like, we sang karaoke, had a great time, and I went home and told my roommate, oh, I met this great new girl, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I'm fucking drunk. I'm looking at her, like, pictures on Facebook. I'm like, who's this chump? And then I'm like, oh, Ashra, you dumb fucking idiot. Don't you remember the very first thing she was talking about was complaining about how the diamond was loose in her engagement ring? It's a fucking loose diamond. She totally, like, put me in that position where I had to tell, I'm like, girl? She basically invited me out to dance with other friends, and then I showed up, and all the other friends weren't there. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, you got to go home now? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, listen, let's not beat around the bush. I'm like, from my understanding, you are engaged. What's that?
I said, let's not beat around the bush. You looking to fuck?
Exactly. Yeah, no, I called her out on it because I'm like, you know, make sure I understand you right. And then I was like, all right, I rolled the dice. I'm like, I've never met this poor guy. Like, if it isn't Ashtray, it's some other loser.
So do you think she actually had a loose diamond, or was that just a metaphor for,
that's why I named her Loose Diamond, because...
or is that like code for somebody?
Oh, I think, no, it was actually because those mutual friends that we met at the bar, the friends that she said, we're all out dancing, and then I came there after my wedding gig, and they were gone. It was just her. It was like, girl, you set this up.
Oh, okay.
She was talking with those mutual friends about, she's like, damn it, like, the diamond in my engagement ring has, like, been loose, and I gotta take it back to the jeweler.
That's some
and
fucking just, Shakespearean fucking it, shit it, there, dude.
It was some Shakespearean. So, and it was so, at the very beginning of our conversation, before we even recognized that we had chemistry, because we were fucking drunk and singing Take Me Home, fucking John Denver karaoke.
I bet that was a great karaoke.
What the fuck?
Where I'm like, I completely forgot she's engaged. I just laughed at myself. And I was like sharing it openly with my roommate. I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot. I forgot. She's... Like, that was the first thing we talked about. And then I got like, oh, she's really cool. And we exchanged contact information.
Code
and then she
diamond.
Totally set me up to be the other dude. And I played along. And the thing is, like, I can say I don't regret it, but I can only say that very easily because I got away with it. The thing is, people get shot and killed over this shit.
Right. I mean, something that you have to realize, too, is there's... of course, everybody has fucking sexual urges and whatnot. And maybe some people are driven by like, oh my God, you know, the ire of God, whatever. I don't think a lot of people fucking give a shit about that. Maybe they care more about like, oh, well, this, you know, this would really hurt my partner and whatnot. But also, some people just don't want fucking drama in their lives.
Yeah.
And they just want, like, they're like, hey, maybe this isn't like the most exciting fucking way this thing could play out, but also this is like a stable, and this is good. So I'm good with this, and I think that's the case for a lot of people. But that kind of
older and you made that
exactly. You know what? I wouldn't feel that way as a younger person. If I got married in my early 20s, I would have a very different fucking you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, that, why do you think Ashtray is who he is? It's because, like, I fucking was so young and dumb and got married and then cheated on and divorced so fast that I just decided, I was like, I didn't trust love at all. I was like, all I could do, I was like, I'm just going to be a man whore and try to find my way in life that way. And look where it's got me.
You could just say whore.
Yeah, you know, go ahead and put the man in front of it.
He's sexist, gender neutral. Asexual whore.
Asexual whore. All right, well, I like that.
That's like the male mouth.
We're at 40 minutes, by the way.
Oh, actually, so they also, the last statistic though was technically at least claim that most couples who have an affair, like I guess more married couples who experience someone having an affair, still stay together than get divorced. Which at least shows some people are working on it, but
bunch of cucks.
Yeah. All right. So that's fucking affairs and infidelities. Kids, don't try them. They're super fun, but they're not worth it.
They're super fun.
Oh God, it was
what an asshole.
It was so fun, and you can't tell anyone about it.
You're an honest.
Oh, and that's why I say, like, I don't regret it because I got away with both and didn't know the other guys I was infringing upon. But don't get me wrong, I was in the wrong. So, moving along. Ashtray, always in the wrong. What sexy time. Oracle, Pizza Hut.
Fucking Pizza Hut. So, really? Yeah. I have been getting into ordering the Hut past couple weeks.
Like Pizza the Hut.
Yeah, every you know, like one night a week I'll fucking order it. But the thing that I love about it, you can order it, you know, on the app or whatever, and it's ready in 15 minutes. I drive there, they have a drive through that is just for picking up your pizza. So I fucking drive up to the window. I don't have to talk through a fucking intercom or anything. Drive up to the window. I'm saying, hey, I'm Oracle. They're
what
like,
kind of pizza place has intercoms?
Here's your
like an A&W.
Right. Here's your fucking pizza. And boom, that is it. And I drive away. It's great. It's wonderful. So, and my pizza's always, you know, good. It's not fucked up or anything. That's what I'm expecting, you know. So I've just been very happy with this arrangement.
They've been working out, carrying through for you. That's good.
Yeah, because one of the local pizza joints, like in town, like they were like on the downside, they actually closed down. But they, like I go in there, and the chick behind the counter, she called me like a fucking bitch. Like when I walk away. Yeah.
That sounds like an ashtray story.
Right. I got my pizza one time, and it had just the toppings, like, and these are huge pizzas. It had the toppings, like, in the very center, like a bullseye on a fucking dartboard. It's like, what the fuck? They've closed down now.
So wait, were you like, what the hell is this? And she's like, shut up, bitch. No. You're like,
it's kind of like one of those, you could tell the place was on the fucking downslide. Yes. Like kids are just like playing the arcade games and just like, you know, they're not paying for that shit or whatever.
Well,
it's completely like going down the tubes.
General upkeep around the place is like right. gone to shit.
Right. Maybe they knew it was closing down at that point. Maybe it was part of the downfall or whatever.
Someone fucking, yeah, put the money, you know, fucked up the money situation.
Right. So Pizza Hut, me just driving up to a goddamn drive-up window, get my pizza, and driving away is a much better arrangement.
I don't know about Madison. Here, Pizza Hut is just absolute shit.
Yeah, like
every time I order,
I'll take Domino's over Pizza.
I fuck Domino's too. I think that's true. I'll order toppers. But that's about it. As far as like corporate shit, because like there's a fucking Italian restaurant right
here. Yeah, we do have some good pizza spot. Places here. In
the
town.
Same price, so good.
So it's, if like it's the lot. Same price, yeah.
Yeah.
I work at a great pizza place, so I get it for free.
That's yeah. true. Teddy, yeah, Teddy's like, fuck you guys. Go.
It's just like Pizza Hut's
my pizza normal. Manager dick.
Because when I worked there, I was like, this is all right. But then when you have real pizza, it's mm-hmm. bad.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So definitely. And we had a place out in Rhode Island. I mean, it was run by this fucking old Italian family. And seriously, like the old lady, like, grabbed my wife vibe. One time and she's like, I love you. Like, she's like, I love you. And she was almost crying. Like, that is the level of freaking customer service that you're getting from this place. And the pizza was good, but I just haven't found that out here.
Yeah. Well, and it's Wisconsin Rapids, you might not find
it. Right. You might not find it. I mean, yeah.
Pizza Hut might be.
Maybe the best, and dude. I mean, honestly, on a fucking Thursday after work, I don't want to cook or anything. Sure. You know Absolutely. What? I'll take it.
Right on. Moving on to Mystic. Candidates are sexy, I guess.
All right. So that link right there is just Gotham Chess. It's his YouTube channel. He's just. I watch the recaps of this game, so. In nerd. The chess world right now, yeah, it's pretty nerdy. But right now is what's called the candidates. It's eight players. It's a double round robin, so you play each person twice, 14 rounds. And play each person twice, which was 14 total rounds. There's two Americans in it. Ironically, one's called Hikaru Nakamura. The other one's Fabian Caruana. So they don't really sound American, but they're playing for America. So, yay. And they're both tied for the fucking lead, right? Two rounds to go. And the four top dudes are playing each other. And in the chess world, this is like... This is fucking Ali versus Frazier.
And you know are they I'm playing saying? In person for this?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So each game takes up to 5 hours. If they go the full distance, it's fucking hectic. They're trying a lot of different shit. You know what I mean? It's cool if you like chess and you watch it. I just like that there's two Americans fighting for the fucking lead. And the winner of this tournament plays the world champion later on in the year. They play another just him, world champion for the world championship, which only comes around in 2 years. So it's a pretty big thing. It's fun to watch.
Is Russia still like a powerhouse in chess?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. China and India are very much catching up.
Hmm. Man, that's fucking interesting.
Sorry. India especially. There's three Indian grandmasters in the tournament right now. So basically it's like the top five or six in the world that isn't the world champion. And then there's two like wild card games. One of them is still a grandmaster, but he's just not their level. And the other one is kind of like a little above him. So they're like the control. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everyone kind of gets a win against them or it's a good draw. But yeah, it's fun to, for me, it's fun to watch.
It's kind of interesting how that pans out though, because chess, you know, I mean, you just need raw intellect and I mean obviously training and whatnot, but that it is like these superpower countries that are at the top of the heap. Like, you don't have, like, right. I don't know, some fucking random ass country. I don't know what. Right. Like, some little country somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's kind of funny that you say that, because Mongolia. Uzbekistan is actually an up-and-coming chess powerhouse. They have, like, six or seven, like, grandmasters. Super good with the top third. And it's Uzbekistan. Like, what the fuck is that shit?
Yeah, right. You know what I
mean? Like, so Russia obviously is the big dog. They've had the most world champions. Norway has had a few. But the U.S. hasn't had one since Bobby Fischer.
Hmm.
So if one of these U.S. guys wins the candidacy, they can win it. Right now it's by held by China. Ding.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Or three. Yes. Yeah.
Cooler. All right, Teddy. Nothing. So it's Ashton. Living on a jet plane to go back to Utah with Buddy Tom. Something. All right, Teddy.
What the fuck, bro? What the fuck, man? God damn it. Yeah, weekend trip. Me and the wife are going on another weekend trip here. We're going to St. Louis. There is a chess museum at St. Louis, actually, Mystic.
Yep. There's the St. Louis Chess Club. It's one of the biggest in the U.S. Like, a lot of Fabiano Caruana is playing in the candidates, like, teaches that shit. So
we're gonna trip to St. Louis. We're gonna have some fun, stay at the casino, do a little bit of gambling. The main reason we're going is to pack up on edibles for the dispensary for the for the cruise.
So yeah, right. Say that again for.
So it's legal. So this is in Missouri.
Missouri, yeah. It's legal in Missouri, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's, so go buy
it's full Missouri.
Legal in Missouri.
Missouri!
Yeah,
yeah, Missouri. That's some bullshit, dude. Think about that. Like, think about that. Seriously. Missouri.
Or misery.
Legal. We don't even have fucking medical. That's fucking,
you know, happy. Yeah. That's the thing, is like, if the federal government would fucking just change the classification of it.
Right.
Fucking all states would be like, all right, the government's going to be able to bankroll and tax this, easy peasy.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, the taxes are, it's right next to Illinois, but the taxes are so much cheaper in Illinois. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Also, Illinois, you have a limit. You can only, if you're out of state, you can only, only buy.
For as much as the taxes are in Illinois, the road, like, it's fucking trash roads.
Yeah, oh, God.
Get the adopt a highway program or
fucking
something.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Goddamn wasteland.
Like fucking Mad Max.
Right? Field.
Also, in Illinois, there's a limit you can buy if you're out of state. It's like 250 milligrams of edibles. This is all you can buy at one time. And
some 250 other milligrams?
Yeah, that's all you can buy.
I remember
it's
when you
two
guys...
and a half packs of fucking edibles. It's not like it's
not a tiny
you can
amount.
You can also buy wax. And you can buy... You buy a half ounce of flour. Is it a whole ounce?
A whole ounce, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right, moving along. Fuck what you think, time. Oh yeah. Also, shout out to my buddy Tom if he's listening.
Yeah, you didn't fucking do your what sexy.
Well, yeah,
fine. Yeah, let him go.
Teddy. Anyways, yeah. It won't be an episode next week. Because I'm going to be flying out to.
Well, we're going to be doing one without you.
Do it. I want to see it.
We might have an organized show next
week. Yeah, you know, it'd be a great show, where you all just talk about, like fucking rag on Ashtray.
You better phone in with some fucking Starlink.
Let all your true feelings out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you got to phone in from the plane.
Oh, no, I'll be in the desert, Zion National Park.
Oh.
Starlink, man, it exists.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Starlink.
Yeah, who knows? There may be. I don't even know. I haven't traveled since your wedding, Oracle.
Poor son of a bitch.
I
haven't traveled since my wedding either.
And I'm kind of like my buddy Tom. I'm just gonna show up, bring a good pair of hiking boots, and Like, just, I don't care.
Let's
go fucking, oh, I would love to die in the desert. Sounds so romantic.
Oh, the fucking deal. Oh, God. Don't do that.
The buzzards picked at my heart.
We're going to do a show about the 10 most gruesome deaths in Zion National Park.
That would be awesome. all right, moving along. Fuck what you think. Oracle, too many kids dying driving cars.
Yeah, there was children. Another death locally here of a 17-year-old girl that died driving a car. And
just recklessly or drunk?
Recklessly, you know, during the day, wasn't drunk. And I've known, you know, somebody else where they're like 17-year-old kid fucking died in a wreck.
Ooh.
When I was in high school, two of my classmates actually died. And that seems to be like the age. 17 is like fucking danger zone.
But, oh, yeah.
See, you my 17-year-old drive.
Yeah. And it's like,
ransomware.
We got to fucking, I don't know. We gotta fucking figure something out here or whatever, because it just seems so unnecessary or fucking, you know.
What are you gonna figure out? How to cure fucking, you know, teenage angst and rebellion? Good luck there, buddy.
Yeah.
Do you all have mandatory driver's ed there?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, mandatory? I mean, it's...
Is it mandatory?
It's not mandatory here. No,
mandatory.
I don't think it's mandatory in Wisconsin. No,
really? Oh,
I mean, when I was in high school, it was kind of like, just like
Did you get taught it in high school?
What?
Yeah, I got taught driver's ed in high school.
Driver's ed in school, right?
Yeah,
so yeah. That's the thing, is I don't think a lot of schools do it anymore, right?
No, they don't. They actually, they don't.
We have to pay like $500 each time one of them fucking goes through that class.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. Yeah, it was through the school. Old fucking coach Mike Uppenaw, the coach. Right. The driver's ed teacher, too.
I hope that somewhere in the future.
When your potato's 17.
When my potato's 17, I hope that there is some more fucking driver assisted shit that will. Put some fucking bumpers on that shit.
Put the brakes on.
You know what it is, though,
right,
man? And I'm serious. You have to start. You have to live kind of in an area where you could just fucking buy a shitty ass like $400 fucking meter,
right?
And when he's 15, just let him go out on some dirt roads and fucking feel like what it's like. You know what I mean?
There's right.
You guys have the experience of being taught from a really young age how to drive?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Like I did.
That was fucking driving.
Like 10?
No, that was
maybe younger than that. I barely could reach the pedals, but
pretty young.
My dad
would
push the pedals and let me steer when I was really little, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd drive my mom home
in a parking lot
after the bar, you know? I mean,
your mom home.
Really? Like,
yeah.
Buddy, I wish I had that.
I
said
I mean, and that's that kind of stuff really pays off. I remember one time I was with a girlfriend. We were out here, actually, we were visiting from California, and she was not drunk. I was drunk as fucking shit, and we were driving through Marshfield, actually, and we were going through an area, and she started to lose control. And I'm the drunk guy sitting in the passenger seat. I just fucking instinctively grabbed the wheel, fucking whipped it completely, and took it into like a controlled fucking spin, because she was like freaking the fuck out.
I think you're just drunk as fuck and you grabbed the wheel.
That's what she said. Like, I'm drunk.
But the thing is, she was like, she was like freaking out and it was going out of control. And I just took us into a controlled fucking spin into a parking lot, and it was like, bam, stop. We're good. All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
I'm driving.
You know,
yeah, you just gotta stay calm.
You just gotta calm, and whatever you do, you need to commit to it. You can't be like fucking freaking the shit out, you know. And you know, I don't know. It's just really sad because, like, with this kid, you know, it's just like 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. I don't know. Maybe she was on her fucking phone or something. But it's such a fucking waste.
That's
it's just
thing. We didn't have that. You know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't have a fucking phone. I had stereo, but
right.
That's not staring at the screen.
Yeah. It's just, it's sad. It's fucking, you know, it's crazy when you see that. It's like, holy fuck, we got to figure something out here. Yeah. I don't know.
Word. All right. Moving on. Teddy, damn allergy season. I agree.
I'm not an allergy guy. I'm allergic to cats, but I usually look at hay fever. She doesn't really get me. Mm. And for some reason, this season, bro, it is fucking with me. And I am
older.
I'm like, goddamn, I'm getting old, man. Shit.
There actually was an NBC Nightly News thing that was saying it's like, you know, a 20% increase, like just all across the board is like it's starting earlier and it's worse.
Is that Monsanto pollen? That's what it is.
There you go.
Probably. Yeah. That makes
fucking Roundup in my lungs.
Climate change.
Yeah.
Lucifate, is that what that's called?
Yeah, I'm just like the stuffy nose and shit. It's just annoying.
Yeah, I got the same shit, dude. And it started happening a couple of years ago when I turned 40. It's just like, all down.
Interesting. Oh,
yeah. A little Zyrtec. Actually, Benadryl works, but you got to get used to it because it's hard to work when you have to sit at a desk. And Benadryl
puts you to sleep, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I've learned that orange juice and vodka work pretty well, too. So, you know.
Hey. Right on. Mystic, YouTube, fuck it.
Yeah, so as I'm watching these recaps from Gotham Chess, which it's a good channel. I like watching for half an hour. You get the gist of it. You don't have to watch 5 hours of chess, which, holy shit. There's a lot of fucking commercials, man. Just knock it off. I get that that's how they fucking make their money. You know, these YouTubers. But Jesus goddamn Christ, it's like a half an hour. I'm watching like 10 fucking... I gotta click this motherfucker like 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fucking stop. It's not. It's probably 4 or 5. But it is still. It's slightly inconvenient. And for me, that's all it takes for a fucking show.
Right. Well, YouTube Premium. I pay it. I don't have to deal with any of that shit.
How much is premium?
I don't even fucking know.
I don't even want to tell you.
I think it's either 12 or 15. I can't remember.
I'm not going to pay that much. It's not that
easy. Right. But it's also, you get YouTube Music, which is nice. It's a nice perk or whatever. But
is it like Amazon Music where you get to set up playlists and shit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Actually, the discovery in YouTube Music, I think, is a little bit better. With shit, but I don't know. I mean, I pay it. Paying the man.
Okay. I pay it. That's why I work it. I got the money.
Yep.
All right, moving on. Ashtray, this one goes out to you know who, if your poor fucking fried attention span has gotten you this far, you must miss me. And I loved you, but go fuck yourself. This is the Riot Report. And we're going to be here every Thursday. Well, not next Thursday, because I'm going to fucking go hike around the desert. Otherwise,
we're going
to
live stream your death.
That would be epic. Make sure you join the conversation. We might get on TMZ. Make sure you join the conversation at redeyereport.com or facebook.com/redeyereport. You can also twiddle us at Red Eye Report. Like and share some fuckers. Wait, you can't twiddle us anymore. Sorry. Or X us. Because.
X us.
Share us. Fuck us because we're down for whatever. I'm the Ashtray.
I'm Oracle.
I'm Mister.
I'm Teddy.
And this is the Red Eye Report.